the last word. We all know people who seem to always need to have the last word. You know the type. They're the ones who can never let an argument or a discussion just drop. They have to prove their point, or they have to impose their opinion on the rest. Those are the ones who will make bold claims and dispute over just about anything. It seems that, in a sense, Peter was kind of like that. Peter liked to have the last word. Peter liked to make bold claims. That's why he is often always called the spokesman for the disciples. Peter, it seems, was a man who felt things very strongly and very deeply. And that is reflected in the accounts that we have of his interactions with our Lord Jesus. For example, when the disciples were out there on that boat and they saw Jesus coming to them walking on water, it was Peter who really, in a confession of faith, was the first to dive in head first, so to speak. And when Jesus inquired as to whom the people said he was, it was Peter who ventured that bold confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet on the night of our Lord's betrayal, as Jesus knelt down to wash Peter's feet, Peter boldly protested, "You're going to wash my feet? No, you shall never wash my feet." But when Jesus informed him that unless he were allowed to wash his feet, he would have no part with him, Peter then again quickly responded with his characteristic impetuousness, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And then on this occasion of our text, just a little while later that same evening, our Lord Jesus announces to the disciples, "On this very night, you will all be caused to stumble on account of me." And again, Peter is quick to react. "Not me, I never will. Not even if everyone stumbles on account of you." And Jesus tries to warn him again. And he says, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." But Peter will have none of it. He wants to have the last word. And he boldly proclaims, "Though I die with thee, yet I will never deny thee." One of the most striking things about this passage is that, at least from the information we have, Jesus was allowing Peter to think that he had the last word. There it ends. The matter is settled. Peter and all the disciples professing their commitment, their promise, their vow, that no matter what, even if faced with death, they would never forsake the Lord Jesus. That's their last word, and they would not be dissuaded from it. Of course, we know what happened next. Just a few verses later, in that same chapter, it says, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." And then again, just a few verses after that, in the courtyard, Peter, again showing his impetuousness, even curses and swears, "I don't know the man." What we see here, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the real humanity of Peter and the disciples. We see here the real frailty of every human profession of commitment. Despite the best of intentions, despite the feelings of deep love and respect and devotion that the disciples had toward the Lord Jesus, they are unable to remain true even to their deepest convictions. And they ended up disappointing themselves just as much as they disappointed Jesus. This episode in the life of the disciples is very instructive for us. And I think especially of those of you who will soon receive your first call into the holy ministry. And even of those who this night will receive your vicarage assignments. For in either case, you will be called upon to make a commitment. You'll be called upon to make a commitment to be faithful to Christ in His Word. A commitment that you will no doubt make with all the best intentions. And yet, realistically, we know that the temptations to do otherwise, the temptations to stumble and even to fall away, to deny your Lord, will be always present. Perhaps and hopefully you will not be threatened with death on account of your commitment, but there are so many other things that can have the same effect. There are so many things that can cause you to stumble. It may be your own laziness, which brings about complacency and apathy. But by the same token, it can be your own hard work, which can bring about self-reliance and self-righteousness and pride. It may be your ego, which will be damaged, or your anger, or your own inflated view of self. You will be tempted to deny the Lord Jesus because you will want to please men, or better yet, please yourself rather than God. There will be real tests to your commitment, real trials, real reasons to despair. As was pointed out in yesterday's homily, Jesus has promised us that. And those temptations must be taken seriously. That's why Paul warned, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Just as Jesus said to Peter, that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat, no doubt Satan will want to do the same with us. And yet, what is so fascinating about our text is that in spite of Jesus' prediction that all of the disciples would scatter when the shepherd is stricken, Jesus also and immediately shows the disciples that he has every intention of bringing them back together. Jesus said, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." In fact, those are really the last words of our text, even though they don't come at the end, and even though Peter thought he had the last word. "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." With those words, Jesus makes it clear to the disciples that they will have a future with him. He lets them know that there is a way back from failure, even before they can imagine how miserably they will fail. The unfaithfulness of the disciples cannot and will not nullify the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness remains unshakable, and forgiveness and restoration are available to every follower. And therein we find the real key to faithfulness. Faithfulness as Christians and faithfulness in the ministry. When we look at St. Peter, and the other disciples for that matter, as much as we honor their name and as much as we respect their testimony, it is quite clear that God called them not because of who they were, but because of His grace. The same is true for us. God did not call us because of who we are. God did not call us because of what we are, because of our cleverness, because of our excellence. And He certainly did not call us because of the profession of commitment that we are willing to make, but because of His grace. And faithfulness involves recognizing that fact, never losing sight of that fact, and recognizing our own vulnerability, but also recognizing God's unshakable faithfulness in spite of our unfaithfulness, a faithfulness of God that sent His Son to the cross, but that also raised Him from the dead on the third day. We will err. We will fail. We will disappoint both ourselves and our Lord Jesus. But that's not the last word. The last word is that Christ is risen. The last word is that forgiveness and salvation are ours. The last word is that in our baptism, as Paul said, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In life and in ministry, may we never lose that perspective. It is only by the grace of God that we have been chosen, both to believe and to serve. And therefore, the last word is not our own. The last word is not our promise. It's not our commitment. It's not our vow. It's certainly not our boasting. But rather, the last word is God's promise, which was sealed when he raised his son from the dead. It's the promise to forgive and to restore. Cling always to that promise, for that is the last and most important word. In Jesus' name, amen.